Blog Talk Radio.
And this is the Real Talk for Real People show, where we study the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And also we study ourselves and other nations also. And these studies are not a warm, fuzzy feeling studies, although you may be feeling warm and fuzzy sometimes. But the serious nature of these studies is to get you conditioned to learn who the God of Abraham, the real God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub is, and to get you to understand the dynamics of a relationship with him. Nothing is free in life. And certainly in regards to that relationship with him and your brothers and sisters, it's not for free. And that's cause and effect. If the proper relationship is not exercised properly, you'll find that out in the book of Shemuel. A lot of you call it Samuel. That is not the correct pronunciation. That is the English-Greek pronunciation. The correct Hebrew pronunciation, Shemuel. Shemuel. And we'll be in chapter 2. Katria will introduce to you shortly after these studies The second segment, the last segment of the study, is which is in the book of Isaiah, that Greek and bastardized name. But Katria will tell you the true name of his pronunciations of his brother. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Katria, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Bless Yah, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If Yah Sufari, shalom. May the Most High bless you. How you doing?
We're doing okay, brother. Nesanya is right next to me.
Shalom.
And she says, shalom.
Nesanya. Shalom, how you doing?
Shalom, I'm doing well. How you doing, Brother Katriel?
I'm doing well, I'm doing well. Still alive, still breathing. Another
exactly.
day.
That's right.
Keep us in your prayer, Katriel, in regards to the matters we spoke to you privately about. Keep us in your prayer. Keep them going.
Oh, no doubt. Yo, everybody needs private prayers.
Exactly.
Dealing with my Praise family you. And the situation yep. I'm going through. Okay.
Exactly.
But I know y'all got me. And
exactly.
I ain't worried about anything.
Exactly. And neither should we be, Contrio. And neither should we be.
Absolutely not. But mm-hmm. That's that spiritual side. Not the mental, not the physical. Are you in tune with your spiritual?
Exactly.
The spiritual is most powerful.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Well, Cadreo, you and the fellow students, if y'all ready to proceed in our studies, I certainly am.
Praise God.
Praise God. Chapter 2, Shemuel. Hannah's, instead of running off and just being, and the funny thing about it, Hannah's going to get some more blessing after this. Check it out. Cause and effect. But nevertheless, Hannah offers up a prayer to the Most High. And she tells it like it is in this prayer. Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiced in the Elohim. My horn, like your strength, exalted in the Elohim. Katriel just said that in so many words. I smiled at my enemies because of this, she says, because I rejoice in your salvation, Most High. No one is holy like the Elohim, and there is none besides you. Any rock like I, Elohim, speak, sister, speak. Talk no more so very proudly. She says, be humble, she says. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. Stop talking and like you know everything. For Yah is the Elohim of knowledge. He controls knowledge. And by him, actions are weighed. By him, not by your local government, state government, city government. Trust in Yah, she says. The bones of the mighty men are broken as a result of Yah, she says. Those who stumble are girded with strength. Those who are running around, don't know what time it is, which way is up. Because of Yah, they're girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread. Those who had it going on, now they hired themselves out for bread. And the hungry have seen the hunger. What's that, Katriel?
What's she saying here? Yah can flip the script.
Exactly.
At any moment in time.
Yeah, you be in charge one day, and you be hiring yourself out for bread.
Or if you begging for bread, the next day you handing out bread.
Exactly. And that's what she said. And the hungry has ceased to hunger as a result of Yah. Even the barren, and she knows this from a personal event, has borne 7. And she, who has many children, has become feeble. She can't have no more children.
So, Yansu, I got to stop you.
Yes. Okay.
Because this is Hannah, right?
Right.
The wife of Elkanah. And we know she's barren.
Right.
And who's her rival? Her rival is Peninnah. Peninnah. And we know Penina got mad children.
Exactly.
But Hana is showing, I ain't got to battle with you, my sister.
Mm-hmm.
Although you taunting me, making fun of me, because every time we go up to sacrifice to the Most High, you making fun of me because I ain't got no children.
Right.
Hanu is showing that it ain't got to be a personal battle between her and Penina. That as
exactly.
long as she relies on the Most High, she ain't got to worry about Penina. She ain't got to worry about her.
That goes for all of us, Katria. You're right.
Penina going to reap what she sold.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It goes for all of us, Katria. Praise Yah.
And
you,
and
brother.
One more thing.
Nope.
Elkanah got two wives. What's his wife's name?
Exactly. Yes.
What's his wife's name?
Oh, Peninnah and Hannah.
And Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
Are they friends?
Don't seem to be, brother.
Or are they competing with each other?
I think Peninnah is much more competing with Hannah.
Okay. Same situation with Jacob, right?
I told my wife that, Sonia, in regards to the issue, private matters you and I discussed, I said, you've been more than fair. You weren't looking for no trouble. And so, Nisanyo has to, which she has, take the position of Hannah in the case of people like that. You know what I mean?
Right. So, my point is, from my father Jacob, right?
Exactly.
He married two women, two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
They were rivals to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're seeing in this situation with Hannah and Penina, whose husband is Elkanah, and I'm sure he loved both of them. I'm sure Elkanah loved both of them with all his heart. He's
exactly.
like, yo, I got this one and that one. I love both of them equally. But guess what?
Exactly.
They're rivals. Penina is making fun of Hannah. And Hannah's like, yo, what's up with me? I can't have no children. But Hannah, she's not bitter. She goes to the Most High.
Exactly.
The Most High blesses her. And her relationship with the Most High helps her overcome her situation.
As in the case of all of us, Katrina. Therein lies our solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Praise Yah, God. Thank you, brother. She says, Hannah, in this prayer, Yah kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up.
Excuse me?
Yah brings down to the grave and brings up from the grave.
For what? Brings up from the grave? Ain't
right?
that reincarnation?
Yes, it is, my brother.
Okay. You might have missed that.
I'm going to say it like you, Cadre. I'm going to say it like you. Okay.
You might have missed that because you read it too fast. What
exactly.
did Hannah say? What did Hannah just say? Pay attention.
He brings down to the grave and brings up from the grave.
Oh, what? All right.
You can bank on it.
Okay.
Thank you, Katya.
And this is
Yah
ancient Israelite understanding. This ain't Western
exactly.
philosophy.
No.
They don't talk nothing about reincarnation.
No.
Aimon Hannah, who is the mother of a prophet, Shemuel, she just told us, Yah takes people down to the graves, and he brings them up from the grave. How you do that? He restores my soul. That's how
but
he
his
does
name
that. There you
mm-hmm.
go.
Praise Yah. Thank you, Brother Cadrill. Yah makes poor. Go ahead, brother.
No. Go ahead.
Okay. Yah makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raised the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap. He sets them among princesses and makes them inherit the throne of glory. For the
Okay. I gotta stop you right here.
Okay.
He raised the poor from the dust.
Right.
Did he do that with us?
Yes, sir, he did.
Because these European universal white racist supremacists, they classified us 3/5 as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
They were branding us like animals.
Exactly.
Have we been raised from the dust of that position?
Yes. Yes.
So what Hanar's saying is true. He raised
it's
the
true.
Poor from the dust because we've been raised from the plantation picking cotton from can't see sun up to can't see sun down to where we are right now.
Exactly.
We ain't on plantations picking cotton.
No.
Oh, no. Y'all raised us up little by little. He's raising us
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Thank you, brother. From the pillars of the earth, for the pillars of the earth are the Elohims. He has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints. Praise Yah. But the wicked shall be silent in the darkness. Praise Yah. Hallelujah. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of Yah shall be broken in pieces. Praise Yah. From heaven he will thunder against them. Praise Yah. Yah will judge the ends of the earth. Bless Yah. He will give strength to his king. Praise Yah. And exalt the horn of his anointing. Bless Yah. Praise Yah. Beautiful prayer, Katria. Very in-depth and very informative to give you some idea about this Elohim of ours.
So,
yeah,
knew that there would be an eventual king of Israel.
Right.
He gets strength to his king. Because Hannah, in Hannah's time, there was no king.
Mm-hmm.
But she knew a king was coming.
Exactly.
And lifts the head of his anointed. And
exactly.
only the king who is anointed can be king of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Praise Yah.
But it shows that the Most High deals with our women as much as he deals with our men.
Mm-hmm. That's
you see the voice of our sister Hannah speaking. She's not a man. She's a woman. And she's more connected than even her husband, Elkanah.
Yeah, but that being said, Katya, her words were left. Not Elkanah, her husband.
Right.
Her words were left for study.
Exactly. So a God-fearing woman is just as powerful as a God-fearing man.
Exactly.
And sometimes even more so. And sometimes even more so.
Yes. The hand
the
rocks the cradle,
my
brother. The hand that rocks the cradle. Thank you, Brother Katya.
So we have to empower our women. No, connect with Yah, sisters of Zion, daughters of Zion, sisters out there. Connect with Yah because you may have more power with our creator than all the men that's around you.
Exactly.
Y'all feel me? Y'all feel me? Okay.
Yeah.
Exactly. Praise Yah.
Right.
Thank you, Brother Katya. Thank
Sir.
You. Then Akana went to his house at Ramah. But the child, Shemuel, ministered to the Elohim before Eli, the priest.
So why does it say that?
Well, I suspect it says that because of the fact he wanted everyone to know that Shemuel wasn't just hanging around. He was about his business as this young child, minister to Yah before Eli the prophet. He was exercising himself in his ministry to Yah.
Elkanah is the father of the prophet Shemuel.
That's right.
And he has the final decision in his marriage to Hannah, because she made the vow. I'm
right.
giving this channel up to the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Elkanah could have said, no, mama. That's my firstborn son by you. And we keeping the boy because he's my firstborn son by you.
Exactly.
But no, he didn't do that, did he?
No, he relented. He relented
He respected his wife and the vow that she made to the Most High. So he had to humble himself and yield.
Exactly.
Shemuel is my son. My wife made a vow to the Most High. And I got to comply to her vow that she made to the Most High. How many men can do that, youngster?
Not very many, Kaiser.
Okay. So we're seeing codes and protocols here. We're seeing codes and protocols here. Because sometimes our wives can know more than we know. You the head of the household, but your wife may be more connected than you to the Most High.
Most importantly. And it shows the interaction between the relationships of this brother and this sister, that he respected her enough to relent to her vow. Praise God.
Praise God.
Thank you, Brother Cartier. Now, here we come to, I always said, and this is an added component, that our lives are about relationships. Relationship with the Most High, relationship with one another, in any aspect of the word, is all about constructive and positive relationships. So it goes on to say about the wicked sons of Eli, about their negative threat. Now, the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know Yah. And the priest custom with the people was that any man offered a sacrifice. They knew our code. The priest servant now would come, these sons of Eli. I mean, they were greeted with three-pronged fish hook in his hand, while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, I mean anything, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did as Shiloh, where the tabernacle of the center of the tabernacle was located at that time. To all the Israelites who came there, also before they burned the fat, the priest servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw. And the man said to him, they should really burn the fat first. That goes to Yah. Everybody knows that, the study. Then you may take as much as your heart desires. And he would then answer him, no, you must give it now. And if not, I would take it by force. Oh, come, Eli's sons. Y'all shut off. Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before Yah. For men abhorred the offer. They abhorred even coming through the offering because of the conduct of these priests. I mean, and that's what I'm saying, that dynamic of relationship. These crooked sons of Eli made the offering abhorrent to these men and these Israelites. They knew the protocol. They knew the procedure. And they knew it was unwanted and uncalled for. Cottrell, what say you?
The priests of Israel, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did they receive from the hand of the people? What they received from the hand of the people is the best of the best.
Exactly.
You can't give secondary to the Most High. You have to pick out the best fruits, the best crop, the best of the flock, and that's what goes to the priests. That's their portion.
Exactly.
How could you want anything more, which Eli's sons were doing?
Right.
Well, we're not going to give the Most High his portion, even though we get the best of the best. We want it all.
Exactly.
And that's how they corrected themselves. They wasn't giving the Most High the order how it was set up. Because after the Most High get his, the priests are like, yo, we got dibs right after the Most High.
Right.
And you're talking about the best of the best of our people. Not second best. When you saw that big, fat, juicy watermelon, that you thought you wanted for yourself? No, you got to put that away for the Most High. The best of your crop, that's for the Most High. That's how you get blessed. So the fact that, you know, they had the opportunity to get the best for the best, but they wanted to cut the Most High out of it to get even more, it shows that, you know, power corrupts absolutely.
Yes.
So they could have remained humble.
and they would still be living large by way of getting the best from all 12 tribes.
Exactly.
Imagine.
Imagine that.
How much more do you need?
I mean, they only thing they had to do, Cottrell, as you said, they were getting the best of the best. But
You want to take Yah's portion too? You
want to
take the Most High's portion? What gall, what arrogance. The Most High wanted to kill them. Like, yo, you like a billionaire, but you still want more. It's like Bill Gates. He a billionaire, he still want more. No, I'm going to kill you, my man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's people out there that ain't got what you got. You still want more.
Exactly. What a shame, brother. What a shame.
But that's a fallacy in human nature, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can't control our impulses.
Exactly.
Whether it be money, sex, or violence, or whatever. People cannot control their impulses.
That's why they need the LOM.
Absolutely.
Because
mm-hmm. when you violate, there's opportunity for you to do it right, get it right,
exactly,
make amends.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, my impulses got the best of me, but that wasn't really me. But, like, I'm never doing that again. Just like King David.
Exactly. Praise
King David leaned into his impulses, right? He saw Bathsheba. She out there taking a shower butt naked, but she married.
Right.
And, you know, a sexy, fine female, that catches any man's eye, whether she married or not.
Right.
And it just happened that Bathsheba, sexy, fine female, married. She caught the attention of King David.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that power is overwhelming and overwhelmed him to the degree he violated. He couldn't control it at the time. His impulses kicked in. Boom. Got to have it right now, no matter what. He wasn't thinking rationally, was he?
No, he wasn't.
Like, these ashes are going to cost me.
Mm-hmm.
These ashes I'm taking right now are going to cost me. But he wasn't worried about that in the heat of the moment, was he?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
In the heat of the moment, he wasn't concerned about the consequences.
Exactly.
And your impulses, yo, got to control them. And when you violate, you got to ask for forgiveness because we flesh. Don't give in to your impulses. Master them, control them. Because male and female got impulses that they may not be able to control.
Mm-hmm. Praise Yah, Katra. Praise Yah. Thank you, brother. But Shemuel ministered before Yah. He was on a much more constructive and positive relationship with Yah. Even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah, his father, and his wife, his mother, and said, Yah give you descendants from this woman. For the long...
So Hannah, what did she do? She gave her son to Eli,
exactly,
the priest of that.
Mm-hmm.
She could have walked away and said, yo, my son is in your hands, and never seen him again, right?
No, she's involved in his life in a physical sense of the word.
Exactly. As a matter of fact,
right,
I'm coming up every year to see my son and giving him whatever he needs in my
right
journey.
Exactly. It
shows that even though she dedicated him to Yah, she still loved him and was concerned about him.
And she showed that love by her actions.
Because people give up their children to adoption, right?
Right. Exactly.
Foster kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they never connect, do they?
No.
And that's a bad thing when you don't connect with your biological parents.
Exactly.
It's a bad thing.
It is.
So she made sure that the prophet Shemuel knew who she was, his biological mother. Because she could have went off into oblivion and he would have never knew. He would have thought that Eli and Eli's sons was his brothers, and that's it. But that's the true love of a mother for her son, because she couldn't have a son. And Mosai gave her a son. She loved him, even though she had to give him up.
Exactly. Thank you, Brother Cartier.
Yes, sir.
The Elohim give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Elohim. Then it will go to their own home. And Yah visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. He made her multiply as a result of her action.
Okay.
When she loaned Shemuel to the Most High, the Most High blessed her with additional children.
Because she could have reneged, right? You're like, yo, this is my only son, my firstborn baby boy. Now I ain't got to worry about things. I'm keeping this young man. I'm not giving him to the Most High. She could have reneged.
Right.
Like, no, I love this little guy. He's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. I want to raise him. But she didn't do that, did she?
No, she wasn't selfish. She honored her.
She fulfilled her vow.
Exactly.
She made a vow. And it might have been to her own hurt. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine how much that hurt Hannah to give Shemuel up? Her firstborn child. How much did that hurt her? I'm sure it hurt a lot.
Tremendously. Thank you, brother. I would imagine tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the child, Shemuel, grew before the Elohim. And now, as Malcolm X said, chicken finna come home to roost in regards to Eli's son, not only in regards to them, the whole family. And why, you may ask, you'll find out. You can't simply chastising someone to that degree is not enough. You have to make an actionable participation against evil. It's got to be action, not just I told him. You got to do more than just tell him. You got to put some actions, corrective actions behind your words. Let's find out. Now, Eli was very old. He heard everything his sons did to all. He had heard this. And how they lay with women who are sitting at the door of the tabernacle meeting. So he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. Know, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. But there's no corrective actions. You make Yah's people transgress. And one man sins against another, Yah will judge him. But if a man sins against the Elohim, who can intercede for him? He should have had much more corrective actions. Nevertheless, they did not heed the words of their father. Why? Because Yah desired to kill them. Yah didn't want them to hear. For the child Shemuel grew in stature, in favor with both Yah and men. He was a classy guy. Then a man of Yah came to Eli and said to him, thus said the Elohim, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Mizraim, the house of Levi, and Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose Levi out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense as a rare and ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father, Levi, all the offerings, as Scott alluded to, the best of the best of the children of Israel, made by fire? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling? I got it codified. My dwelling place, and honor your sons. He gave more honor to his sons with his little sugar coat, milk water talk. He should have kicked him on out of there. Should have went to the LOM in prayer and say, LOM, I know you know everything, but I'm going to put it right at you. I ain't down with what they do. I'm not co-signing. They can make their bed, but I'm not going to sleep in it with them. I kicked them on out of here. I let the nation know what's up with them. What they were doing wasn't right. And I'm praying to you, Most High, to deal with them accordingly as thou see. He should have covered his own, but he was trying to. Sometimes parental love is good, but it ain't good for everything. Sometimes you got to put some actionable plans together. And he should have went to the Most High. And as a matter of fact, I'm wrong on that. He shouldn't have kicked him out. What he should have did, went to the Most High in prayer. Most High, I'm at a standstill right here. Now, I told them boys what was right. Now, whatever you tell me what to do, I want to know the truth and I want to do it. Because I know they did and I don't want no parts in it. What should I do, LOM? How should I handle this matter? That's what it should have been. Instead of just talking and like it's okay and ain't doing nothing about it. You can't talk like it ain't okay and don't do nothing about it. Should have went to LOM and pray. Yeah, go ahead, Cottrell.
So, you know, so.
Yes.
Eli wasn't under the restriction of CPS, what?
CPS?
Child Supportive Service.
Yeah.
He could have put that whip ass to his sons, couldn't he?
He could have.
But he didn't, did he?
No, he didn't.
Spare the rod, spoil the child.
Exactly.
Eli saw all his fine honeys that his sons was bringing up into the camp. Slammed on, thank you, man. He probably wanted a piece of it. Which is why he was correct his sons. Because him being a high priest, he should have known better, right?
He should have known better.
To the point where he was so ignorant. The Most High said, I want to kill your sons, Eli. I want to kill them.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be the high priest.
Exactly.
You're the high priest, and the Most High wants to kill your sons?
Exactly.
You off, my brother. You off
somewhere
in your ministry of the high priest's office. You're
somewhere
off. Yeah,
somewhere.
Man. Y'all want to kill your sons. That's
exactly.
A terrible indictment because he never been conquered or oppressed or can't blame the white man.
No.
Eli, he got power and control of our nation. And what do? When we have power and control of our nation.
Well, I'm going to tell you. Speaking from personal experience and observation as recent and before the end and after the end, they treat our people tacky, trashy, and are terroristic, and sometimes all three together, given the circumstances. That's
and
how
this,
we
is
treat
before,
our
this is before
yeah.
we met universal
white
racist supremacy.
Supremacy.
This is way before that.
Yeah.
Way before
yeah,
that.
They've been doing that.
Oh, yeah. So when we going to change? Because we got that same spirit today. How people got that same spirit today?
Well, our people got it, but those who are studying with us, you better elect to change right today. You can't do. My wife said something that was quite important today, even though she didn't realize she had said. And she said, I couldn't worry about the next person, what they were doing. I could only worry about what part I played. And so, yeah, we can't change what our brothers and sisters do. But we can work on us in regards to our relationship with us if they are allowable with us. And it's just that simple, Kaji.
And it's so simple in this very lesson we're studying. Eli's son didn't listen to him, did they?
No.
You know who listened to him?
Shemuel.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So
somebody
we
did.
Know that Eli had the proper teaching for his sons. Because he raised the prophet Shemuel. Unfortunately, Eli's sons were hard-headed, stiff-necked Negroes, like we are today.
Exactly.
And
monstrosity.
We want to do it how we want to do it, when we want to do it. What you call it? Monstrosity. Eli's sons, like us today, were a monstrosity. You're not listening. You're not paying attention. You don't want to hear. You want to do your own thing. You're leaning on your own understanding. When they had the power to do what was right before the Most High.
And you're quite correct, Coach.
Eli's sons had everything going for them. Eli's sons, they could have married some of them women.
Exactly.
But they chose to not do the right thing.
Exactly. That's what they, it was their choice. Unfortunately, they chose, they made the wrong choices, Katya.
And it cost them.
It cost them dearly.
Yeah.
We will see.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, brother. My dwelling place, Yah says, but you honor your sons more than me. You put your sons above me to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Those are my people, he's saying. Therefore, Yah, Elohim of Israel, says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your fathers would walk before me forever, the house of Levi. But now, Yah says, far be it from me, for those who honor me. Now, it ain't going to just simply because you're from the house of Levi. That's codification for that. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the day are coming that I will cut off your arm, talking about the high priest Eli, and the arm of your father's house, so that there would not be an old man in your home. You ain't going to live to get old, your folks. You will see an enemy in my dwelling place. Despite all the good which Yah does for Israel, your family percent, not the total nation, total tribe of Levi, but your family percent. That's what he's talking in reference to. You will see an enemy in my dwelling place, despite all the good which Yah does for Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever. I'm going to kill all your young folk before they get old. Sick of this. For any of your men whom I do not cut off from my altar shall consume your eyes and grieve you. I'm going to bring grief on you for cause of these young folk. And all the descendants of your house, that family, shall die in the flower of their age. Not the whole tribe of Levi. Now this shall be a sign to you that will come upon your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And one day, they shall die, both of them. Then I will rise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart, not their heart, and in my mind, not their mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed, his king, forever. And it shall come to pass.
Say what?
It shall come to pass that everyone who is left in your house will come and bow down to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread and said, please put me in one of the priestly portions. Restore me, so to say, that I may eat a piece, because I'm going to make y'all poor. I'm going to make y'all poor in a tabernacle mouth for the mess you brought to me. Because you didn't think about me. You didn't think about my people. You were only there to serve your own best interest. I made you servants, high priests of this nation. But your family per se, ain't none of you young folk and your family going to ever turn old. And when they're young, they're going to cause you grief. And their other family members, and they're going to come to Shemuel. They're going to be coming to Shemuel to ask for restoration, so to speak. Y'all can't play with Yahweh. I don't know what kind of stuff y'all on, but y'all better get off your high horse and get on your low rider and humble yourself and start following what Yah said. Stop doing what you want to do when you want to do it and how you want to do it and think that would suffice. Even in modern times, contemporary times, Katrill, we got brothers and sisters today making temples over here, calling themselves high priestess and all that. A monstrosity, Katrill. A mere monstrosity. It's not no thus said Yah. It's thus said what I want to do, when I want to do it, and how I want to do it. My golly, Most High, you better go along with it. I strongly advise, Katrill and I, and suggest that you humble yourselves, and that you follow what the Elohim says, and that you submit yourself to Yah. That's in the case of Shimuel. Worked out for him. For those out there that are leaning to their own understanding, is it working out for you? If it ain't, you better quit it. Because it ain't going to work for you. It's going to work on you. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Katrill, my brother, what say you, your commentary?
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for the lesson we've learned tonight. A lot of people think that the anointed of Yah is one man.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not.
Mm-hmm.
We understand the priesthood, from the high priest to the priest, they all anointed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And our brother, who we read about in this chapter, Eli,
mm-hmm.
he is a branch of the house of Aaron. He's not just a Levite.
Exactly.
He's one of the descendants of Aaron, Moses' brother.
Mm-hmm.
And his branch, the Most High saying, no, because of the actions of your sons, they are not going to be on a level of priests anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not to cut off the seed of Aaron from being priests.
Right.
But Eli was only one aspect of the seed of Aaron.
Exactly.
And we're going to see that Zadok, one of the sons of Aaron, took over that position because of his loyalty and dedication as we get into the history of our people. So I
exactly.
don't put the place of Eli.
Exactly.
But in the meantime, between time, the brother Shimuel, guess what? He's not a Levite.
No. Y'all didn't realize. He's from Ephraim.
Right.
He's from the tribe of Ephraim.
Right. But he's a Nazarite, dedicated by his mother to serve Yah all the days of his life as a Nazarite.
Exactly.
And in that vow that his mother made, he's on the level of priests because he's growing up like a priest in the house of priests.
Exactly. Exactly.
He's wearing an ephod, the Most High speaking to him, and he's the first one to anoint our first king.
Exactly.
Which means he's acting as a priest from the tribe of Ephraim.
Exactly.
But they call him a judge, Shimuel.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What was he? Was he a judge? Was he a priest? What was he? What title do we give him?
I think he had much more than one title. He was a prophet.
Oh, yeah.
He was a judge. He was a priest. And not in accordance as the high priest, and far as the offerings and the sacrifices was concerned, but for other endeavors were concerned, the anointing of kings and whatnot. He acted in many endeavors for the Most High.
The prophet Samuel is a king maker. The first king of
exactly.
Israel was King Saul. The second
exactly.
king was King David. And the
exactly.
prophet Samuel was responsible for anointing them kings of Israel. However,
exactly.
he was not a Levite. He wasn't from the house of Aaron, but he was a prophet dedicated as a Nazarite from birth. And that's how he served. And the Most High will flip the script on us and go outside the box to accomplish his mission for us as a nation. And we're going to get, through the prophet Samuel, But he wasn't presumptuous in trying to name his sons as heir to what he had done.
Exactly.
He passed the baton on to the kings that were supposed to be leaders of the nation of Israel.
Exactly.
Praise God.
Praise God. That's very informative study. Not a warm, fuzzy feeling study, but a need to know basis in our regards. We need to be grounded, rooted into these fundamentals. So we can have an understanding of our relationship with the Elohim, how that relationship should be accounted for, and how we should have relationships, a positive and constructive one, with one another, if allowed. It's all about relationship, people, and how you interact within the confines of that particular relationship. As in the case of Hannah, Panina, Akana, Shemuel, Eli, his sons, the nation in itself, and so on and so forth. It continues on today. It's all about relationships, people, not toxic and poisonous ones. They're not constructive, they're not positive, and they serve no purpose. As in the case of Eli's son, Hophni and Phinehas, they serve no constructive purpose, none whatsoever. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Understand the dynamics of relationships. Go ahead, Katriel.
And what were the consequences of Eli's sons? Did it affect Eli?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
They Which means?
They died in their youth. They didn't become high priest. The lineage went from him to someone else as far as being high priest is concerned. It affected his family in the Levi tribe from the house of Aaron particularly. If you don't do something, the Most High gonna get it done. It's true.
So Eli's sons took advantage of him when he was an old man, didn't they?
Exactly. Exactly.
Were they supposed to do that?
No. He should have placed his trust in the Elohim, Katriel, not in his sons.
No, no, no. His sons should have placed his trust, their trust in the Most High, and followed their father's instructions.
Oh, they certainly should have, but Katriel,
that's not the fact that his sons took advantage of him because he was old and didn't listen to him.
Well, Katriel, I know, but let's not be remiss in fact of telling that father had a choice in the matter. And because the Most High brought it to his attention. You put your sons over me.
It does say that.
Uh-huh.
Because in that, it's saying that Eli could have done more.
Exactly. Exactly.
And he didn't do it.
Exactly. Right. My point is that.
And when he was old, it was too late. And he didn't do anything. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. As Nisanya said, the dynamic of the relationship was off. Yeah. He let it stay too much, too little, too long. It didn't just happen overnight. They weren't having sex with those sisters over there. It was an ongoing situation. He should have nipped it in the bud. But contrary, he did nip it in the bud. And he said, I heard about it. Because you've been letting it go by. You've been letting it slide. You can't let nothing slide, bro. You can't let nothing slide, sis. You got to nip it in the bud. You said, well, they made their bed and they sleep in it. Sometimes they pull you right in the bed with them. Don't let your children pull you in the bed with them, okay? Because they're going to own up to what they're doing. And you're going to take responsibility for the action that you allowed to be done. And so on and so forth. It's all about relationship, people. A domino effect, good or bad. It's just that simple.
So Eli spoke words to his sons. And guess what? It had no effect. The Most High said Eli should have took action. Right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So here we are on the Blog Talk, Real Talk, and Real People Show.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could do like Eli is give people words. Unlike Eli, we ain't close to you to enforce actions on you.
Mm-hmm.
We can give you the words, but you have to take up action for yourself.
Exactly.
So I'm sure that Eli, had he had the ability to take action on the Suns, he would have to make things right.
Right.
But we can't do that because we ain't personally involved. You ain't our children. We can give you the words, but we can't take action on y'all.
No, we can't put our hands on y'all. We put y'all's word on you. We can't put our hands on you.
No, we don't want to do that.
Right. And what part do you have to play? Caught you in line?
Yeah.
All day long can give you these wonderful, informative, instructive, and beautiful lessons of the Elohim. But at the end of the day, it's your choice in the matter.
And that's what Eli did for his sons. I'm sure he had powerful words for his sons, but they weren't following his direction. Whereas when he taught the prophet Samuel absorbed everything Eli was teaching him. Now, why couldn't his sons do that?
Exactly.
They say familiarity breeds contempt. Sometimes your own family doesn't really appreciate you.
Exactly.
And Samuel wasn't family. He's an adopted child.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't in the family. He watching y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And the wisdom that Eli gave him put him on the path that he was supposed to be on.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, Eli's sons wasn't listening like the prophet Samuel, because they could have been on the same path.
Exactly. Praise y'all. Bless his holy name, Katya. Bless his holy name.
Praise
you, Brother Katya. Fellow students, Brother Katya is about to lead us in a last segment of our studies for the night. It's in the fifth chapter of so-called Isaiah. Katya will give you the correct name and the correct pronunciation of said name, the fifth chapter of Isaiah. Chapter 4?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry, Katya. My mind was a light years away. I got four right in front. Okay. Ask me, Sonia. Ain't I got four right in front?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hold on. I'm over taking notes.
Katrell, your son
says
she's taking notes, but she see where I'm at. But Katrell, chapter 4, my brother, you're correct.
All praises.
All
so
praises.
It's good to have a good woman behind you, supporting you.
Mm-hmm. No, by the side of you. Watch it. Because a woman came from a brother's side. A woman didn't come from his backbone. She came from his side.
Exactly.
Good to have her by your side.
Making sure you do things right.
You right. All right, brother.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we're in the book of Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu, Yah is salvation, chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of our sisters don't like this chapter because it speaks of polygamy.
Mm-hmm.
And east is east and west is west.
Mm-hmm.
And in the east, polygamy works.
Mm-hmm.
In the west, not so much. You got to sneak around. You got to commit adultery. Whereas in the East, them Sheiks, them Arabs, African brothers, they had multiple wives.
Right.
As in the days of old.
Mm-hmm.
But like we read about Panina and Hana, trust me, the brother that has multiple wives, you got problems on your hand. Trust me.
Yep.
Nina and Hana were adversaries to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Leah and Rachel and Jacob's wives. They were adversaries to one another. So all these brothers out here eager to have multiple wives, trust me, you better be wise as King Solomon. And with all his wisdom, he couldn't deal with them. He's like, yo, it's better to dwell in the desert land or a rooftop. Okay. But our women have power. Israelite women have power. Isaiah chapter 4. And seven women shall take hold of one man in that day, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own clothes. Only let us be called by your name. take away our reproach. Can we break that down? What does that mean?
Well, they're not going by the codified procedure.
Right.
Okay? Just to carry someone's name, but you're providing the sustenance for you is not procedure-wise as far as our nation is concerned.
So the code for our nation is that a man is supposed to provide bread, food, clothing, and shelter for his wife, right?
Exactly.
And what did they say?
Not take her food stamps and whatnot. Okay.
Right. What are they saying? We will eat our own bread and wear our own clothes. You ain't got to do that for us.
Right. That's not codified. That's not codified.
It may not be codified, but guess what, Yamsu? That's the situation we're living in now, right?
Truth be told.
Our women are richer than our brothers, aren't they?
Exactly.
Our women got more college education. They have more corporate jobs. They're on a higher income level than the average brother, aren't they?
Exactly.
Matter of fact, to the point where they say we don't need a man. Oh, no. We don't need a man.
But the evidence speaks quite contrary to that. The evidence, as far as their children are concerned, is quite contrary to that. That's why our young brothers, I mean, a woman can raise, I'm not knocking a sister, and I applaud them for what they had to deal with these trifling baby daddies. But she can only go so far. A woman can make a baby into a boy, but a woman can't make a boy into a man. It takes a man to teach a man how to be a man. That's why King David told King Solomon by way of his training, now go show yourself a man.
Well, we're talking about the women right here.
Right. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
And the table seems upside down.
It is.
Because these women are courting a man of God, which means that men on planet Earth are going to be a rare thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be outnumbered 7 women to 1.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like that now.
Mm-hmm.
It's more women.
And it's like that now.
Yeah, that's
7 women to 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So the odds are stacked.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the reproach of a woman? That she's not a mother, that she's not creating a household, that she's not being fruitful and multiplying. That's a reproach. But that's the command for man and woman. Be fruitful and multiply. Got to make families. And if women are outnumbered 7 to 1, that's a reproach because men are rare. Where are the men at?
Exactly.
Where can I get a husband? But anyway, this is not our mind, this is Yah's mind. And we can see the scenario, how it is. Our brothers are being destroyed. And nobody really cares. You know, nobody cares about, you know, brothers. When they go to jail or get shot or strung out on drugs, nobody really cares. But when our brothers die, like we died in Egypt, it's about the destruction of a people.
Mm-hmm.
If all the men die, that means your nation is destroyed.
Right.
So we're in trouble because they're trying to kill us.
Exactly.
Women got more power.
Any means necessary.
Yeah.
So the strategy in ancient Egypt was kill all the baby boys to keep the women alive. And we see the same thing going on today. To give our women power, and they throw our brothers in jail. Or kill us, or shoot us, or we shooting each other. But anyway, these men who have 7 women coming up to them, that means they are connected with the Most High God. They are men of God. These men that these 7 women are approaching, the Most High has selected for salvation, right? Because it ain't going to be every brother that takes all the 7 women. Oh, no. It ain't every brother. You ain't connected with Yah. You ain't giving 7 women. It says, in that day, the branch of Yah shall be beautiful and glorious. And the fruitful and the fruit of the land shall be the pride and honor of the survivors of Israel. we don't realize that the curse from Adam's time is still in the earth, which is why Adam had to work the earth in order to get the yield out of it. The earth has not blessed mankind since that time. But y'all going to remove the curse off the earth. And when we get back to the land, we're going to see things we've never seen before. He said, and he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem shall be called holy, set apart. Everyone who has been recorded for life in Jerusalem. That's that book we talk about in the book of Daniel. We want to be recorded in that book of life. Right? When Yah shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and cleansed the blood stains of Jerusalem from its midst by a spirit of judgment and by a spirit of burning. And the spirit of burning is a purifying fire that Yah intends to clean up planet Earth from Jerusalem on out. And blood is an abomination. Anytime man sheds blood, that's an abomination. How long does it take to clean up innocent blood off the earth? It's a spiritual thing. You can call CSI if you want to, but Yah is saying it's a spiritual thing. The blood stains in Jerusalem, and blood is still being shed in Jerusalem. But by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning, that purifying fire, you know, the earth is going to be purified. What does it say? Then Yah will create over the whole site of Mount Zion, over her assemblies, a cloud by the day and smoke and the shining of a flame fire by night. Over all the day, there will be a canopy. There will be a booth for shade by day from the heat and for a refuge and a shelter from the storm and rain. Can't even envision what that means, what he's talking about right here. But Yah gonna show himself when he purifies the earth with that spirit of burning, which needs to happen, the spirit of judgment, to wash away the filth of our people. And he's talking about the daughters of Zion. He ain't talking about the sons, but the sons are in there too. When you're talking about our mothers, our sisters, our wives, if they gotta be cleaned up, guess what? We gotta be cleaned up too. Because we definitely follow our women. If they ain't clean and they ain't leading us in the wrong direction, because the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, Yah wants that hand that rocks the cradle to rule the world.
We teach it.
Cleaned up. He wants the hand cleaned up. All right? So he's trying to prepare the daughters of Zion, because Yah about to wash y'all and purify y'all. That the earth could be purified.
Yes.
Praise God.
Praise God. Thank you, Brother Cartrell, for the informative last lesson in the study of the LOM, the dynamic of relationships with our Most High, the LOM, and our relationship with one another, which is a domino effect in one way or another. Praise and bless the Most High name. Cartrell, any closing remarks and comments in regards to any of our studies tonight?
Just what we read, how important is how sisters are. Because the focus of the Most High is on the daughters of Zion and cleaning them up. So they may feel left out that the Most High is only talking to the brothers, the men, the kings, the judges, and the warriors. No, he's talking to the daughters too. Because without the daughters, we ain't nothing. And if our women are cleaned up, that means that we trash.
Right.
If our mothers ain't clean, our sisters not clean, our wives, our daughters not cleaned up, and the filth that, you know, Babylon puts upon us, then we just the product of what our mothers are. And Yah sees that, and we need to pay attention to that. And help our sisters as our sisters help our brothers to rise up out of the filth that we're in. So we got to stop pointing fingers because we all are dirty. We need to be cleaned up. And Yah saying the daughters of Zion need to be cleaned up from the filth that they're in. So
always.
That's where humility comes in. We all dirty.
Right.
Male, female, young, old. Ain't nobody clean until we get it clean. Help each other get clean. And that's what we're trying to do.
Exactly, brother. We ain't nobody clean until we all get clean. And you said a mouthful there, Cottrell. We're all dirty out here.
Ain't just on the brothers. It ain't just on the sisters. It ain't just on the children. And it's not on the elders. It's on everybody. Everybody. We have to help each other.
Exactly. Help
Let's
each other.
It. We could do it.
That's true, Cottrell. Let's do it. We can do it.
Praise
I concur with Cottrell. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Thank you, fellow students, for studying along with us on the Real Talk for Real People show, the only show that I know, personally speaking, that gives you the in-depthness of the studies of Yah, the in-depthness of the studies of his people, the in-depthness of the study of different nations. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. And may he bless you also. Cottrell, closing remarks and a comment.
We know we love Yah. We ask that the Most High watch between us while we're absent from one another. And the Most High willing, get back right into the fountain of living waters tomorrow. And the Most High bless us. Shalom and good night.
May the Most High bless us. Shalom.
Yeah. 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 Move with me. Move with me. I'm gonna change your world. I give enough to fill the cup. I'm gonna change your world. Come move with me, groove with me. We're gonna change your world. Yes, I will, baby girl. This one man will. I'll be your one man. Listen up, I'll be your one man. Hey, can I talk to you for a little while? We're gonna change your world. Jah giving up to fill the cup. I'm gonna change your world. Yes, I will, for sure. Hey, this one man will. I'll be your one man. Hey, I'll be your one man. Pretty girl, I'll be the one man. Hey, I'll be your one man. Yeah. Talking to you for a little while. Hey, my name is Ziggy and I'm a little bit shy. Alright, wake up music, but we have love to make. We don't sin a ray, starting on the higher plane. Oh, satisfaction beyond physical attraction. Come move with me, I'm gonna change your world. Jah giving up to fill it up, I'm gonna change your world. Work in synergy and feel the energy, we're gonna change.